So I do have an update for you about the newest skincare routine that I've been using because the results just keep getting better and better. Honestly, I was getting to a point where I felt like my face was looking a bit more tired. But now that I've used OneSkin each morning and each night for a few months, I can truly tell the difference. My face feels brighter, more hydrated. I do feel that it's making a difference in terms of visible signs of aging. And no wonder, because OneSkin's products are powered by their scientifically proven peptide called OS1. Now, this peptide reduces the accumulation of damaged aging cells and boosts skin's natural barrier to lock in moisture and protect against the elements. And all I have to do to have all of those benefits is cleanse and apply OneSkin's topical face and eye cream morning and night, and it's so easy. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code NEWSWORTHY at oneskin.co. Go and get this. You can get 15% off oneskin.co with the code NEWSWORTHY. And after your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, so please be sure to support our show and tell them we sent you. Help your skin stay younger and healthier for longer with OneSkin. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. Today, some media push back against Trump's attacks, and body scanners show up in the subway. Those stories and many more in less than 10 minutes. Plus, hang out after today's news for a bonus interview. We are talking with the well-known Grammar Girl about everything from common grammar mistakes to emoji. I'm Erica Mandy. Today is Thursday, August 16th. You ready? Let's do this. The arguments have been made, and now jury deliberations start today in the Paul Manafort trial. The 12 jurors will all have to agree about the outcome on these 18 counts. They'll be deciding if President Trump's former campaign manager is guilty or innocent of bank fraud and tax evasion. Over the last couple of weeks, prosecutors have argued Manafort lied and hid money. Manafort never took the stand. In fact, Manafort's defense lawyers didn't call any witnesses, but they did question the credibility of the key witnesses on the other side. It's the first trial stemming from the special counsel's Russia investigation, the one that's still going on. But these charges are not connected to Manafort's time as Trump's campaign manager. So for now, stay tuned for that verdict. President Trump is following through on a threat. The Washington Post says he just stripped away the security clearance of a former CIA director, John Brennan. Brennan has not been a fan of President Trump, and he's made that very clear. He's one of Trump's most outspoken critics and has even called the president's actions, quote, treasonous. Trump says he's doing this because of Brennan's, quote, erratic conduct and that he's become too partisan. But critics say Trump is abusing his power as president to punish people who speak out against him. Brennan himself says he won't back down now. Today, a bunch of news organizations are coming together to push back against President Trump's attacks on media. The Boston Globe is leading the effort and says more than 300 news organizations are on board with this. They will all be running coordinated opinion pieces today. They'll focus on the president's attacks on journalists and how he's called the press fake news and the enemy of the people. It includes well-known papers like the New York Times, whose headline to readers is, "A free press needs you." But others, like the Wall Street Journal, are not joining in. An opinion piece there says just like the press can criticize the president is allowed to criticize the press. Both enjoy freedom of speech. To be clear, in most news organizations, the opinion department is separate from the news side. There's a new record number to tell you about, and it's not the good kind. The CDC says more than 72,000 Americans died from drug overdoses last year, about a 10% increase from 2016. Why is this happening? The New York Times reports analysts point to two main reasons. One, a growing number of Americans using opioids, and two, drugs are becoming more deadly. Last year, President Trump declared the opioid crisis a national public health emergency. And in case you missed it, we just talked about drug addiction and overdosing in last week's Thursday interview segment. That's the August 9th episode after the news. All right, some other things people may be talking about today. Los Angeles will be the first U.S. city to have body scanners in subway and bus stations. But don't worry, CNN says commuters won't actually have to wait in long security lines. Instead, these body scanners will just be hanging out, scanning you as you walk by, looking for any weapons or explosives. The devices can scan up to 2,000 bodies an hour. TSA and LA Metro teamed up to test this out first, and the devices will now be used across the LA transit system starting later this year. And other cities are now testing these scanners as well. Apparently, they don't emit any radiation, but they will be noticing any objects that are blocking your natural body waves. It still seems an employee or security guard would have to stop someone if the scanner does pick up on anything suspicious. The time it takes for those card reader machines to read the chip in your credit card just got cut in half. The Verge reports the company Square says its card readers, the ones you often see attached to iPads, can now read cards in just 2 seconds flat. That's down from 4.2 seconds in 2016. And really, the industry average is as much as 13 seconds. Many students are heading back to school this week, but for one of the largest school districts in Colorado, students won't be showing up to class on Mondays, like any Mondays. They're moving to a 4-day school week to save money. The superintendent told the local NBC station there the district will save about $1 million a year, in part because they'll run fewer school buses. They are offering childcare on Mondays for $30 a day. There's a new Girl Scout cookie this year. In the lineup with Thin Mints and Samoas will be caramel chocolate chip cookies. And the new cookie option is gluten-free. USA Today says it's not the first gluten-free option. There's also Toffee-tastic. The official start of the Girl Scout cookie selling season is January 2nd. And that's it for the main news today, but it's now time for Thing to Know Thursday, where a different expert explains a different thing to know every Thursday after the news. So this week, we are talking all about grammar. I know some of you have back to school on the mind, so I thought this is perfect timing. We get into the most common grammar mistakes and some tips to help make sure you'll be correct next time. Plus, is tech changing how we write and why emoji meanings are now in the dictionary? My guest today is Mignon Fogarty, aka Grammar Girl. She is the founder of the Quick and Dirty Tips Network and creator of Grammar Girl, named one of Writer's Digest's 101 Best Websites for Writers. The Grammar Girl podcast has won Best Education Podcast many times in the podcast awards. She's also an author of the New York Times bestseller Grammar Girl's Quick and Dirty Tips for Better Writing and 6 other books. She's even been on the Oprah Winfrey Show. So here's my conversation with Grammar Girl. Hi, Mignon. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Hi, Erica. Thanks for having me.
So I want to kick things off with the top 2 or 3 most common grammar mistakes, and why do you think people make them?
Right. Well, I think the most common mistake I see is people mixing up homophones. So affect and effect, you know, words that sound the same. Like this week in my podcast, I compared rack with a W and rack without a W. And when words sound the same, people, they just get confused. They don't remember which one to use. So I always try to give people quick and dirty memory tricks to help them remember. The easy thing with rack is that the W spelling is just archaic. It's almost never the one you want. So that makes it a little easier. So you can think, you know, if you have your spice rack and your rack for drying clothes. And then, you know, if you're trying to think of a more metaphorical phrase like racking your brain, it's the same kind of rack. And then another, the one that people always react to when I post online is anything about how to use commas. You know, in one of my books, I have an infographic and there are probably 20 different ways to use a comma. So people think they should know because it's so easy. You see it all the time. It's the comma, right? We feel like we should know, but there are just so many different ways to use it. It's hard to remember them all.
So any quick and dirty tips about commas?
Well, I think the one thing, there's if you have red comma, white comma, and blue comma, a lot of people don't know whether to use that comma before the final and. It's called the serial comma or the Oxford comma. And it feels like people will go to war over whether to use this comma. But the it's actually a style choice. So if you're following Associated Press style, you usually don't use that comma. If you're using Chicago style, you are supposed to use it all the time. And for an everyday writer, I find it easier just to use it all the time, just to put it in there. And I think it makes a sentence more clear. And it's always easier to have a simple rule. So my simple rule is just use it.
But that's good to know that kind of no one is wrong with that one.
Right, right. So also don't get so upset if you see it done differently from the way you do it. It's a style choice. So no need to go to war.
So how we communicate has obviously changed a lot over the years. So how do you think technology like texting or grammar check impacts our knowledge and our use of grammar?
Well, I think a lot of people worry that texting is ruining kids' ability to write, and there's a lot of fear around the kind of writing we see online. But you know, from what I understand from studies I've seen, we're just seeing private writing become more public. You know, when people passed each other notes in class or you left a note for your husband on the countertop, you would write in the same informal style that people often use writing online. You know, maybe you didn't use the letter U for the word Y-O-U, but people do that less now anyway, because the keyboards on phones are better than they used to be. A lot of those abbreviations came about because it was just so hard to type things on phone keyboards. So I think that we use technology. Technology doesn't use us. You know, we're still in control of how we write, and people feel more comfortable writing informally on social media platforms and in text messages, but it doesn't mean that we've forgotten how to write properly either. The thing I worry about with grammar check and spell check is that people trust it more than they trust themselves. So especially in the early days, a Microsoft grammar checker had a few errors in it. It would say that someone else's was wrong. So if you said, you know, someone else's car, it would say someone else's is wrong, but it's not. It's actually right. And I would often get messages from people thinking, well, Microsoft told me it's wrong. It must be wrong. And, you know, no, it was just an error. So it causes people to maybe rely on it a little too much and even doubt what they know. They actually know that someone else's is okay, but then the expert tells them it's not. So I think you have to recognize that they're great tools, you know, to highlight potential errors, but you can't just accept every recommendation blindly.
Such a good point. So let's talk about words in the dictionary, because every year there is a new word added to the dictionary or a word of the year that gets used that's kind of new. And you mentioned in a recent episode of the Grammar Girl podcast that dictionary.com even added emoji definitions. So what do you think of that? And do you think it's important that our reference books kind of change with the times?
Right. I interviewed Jane Solomon, dictionary.com's lexicographer, and she's so fun. She's amazing. And I believe she's on the emoji board, approval board or something like that for ICON, the group that decides. I think it's like the emoji working group. And so she's very familiar with emoji and she works at the dictionary. Those are two separate things. But I think I'm pretty sure it was her idea to put emoji in the dictionary. And, you know, if you think about it, a dictionary is for looking up the meaning, you know, we think of as words, but now people are using emoji also to communicate. And sometimes we don't always know what they mean. You know, I didn't know that the goat emoji meant greatest of all time, because that's how people, you know, G-O-A-T, greatest of all time. And then they use the goat emoji to imply that. And I didn't know that, but I could look up the goat emoji in the dictionary and it would be helpful to know what that means. So they haven't integrated them into the entire dictionary yet. It's sort of a special section on their site, but they recognized, they found that people were looking up, trying to find out what emoji mean. And that's their job, to tell people what things mean. So it seemed like a natural extension to me, and especially a fun, you know, side section on their website.
And I love that you use emoji as the plural. There's no actually S, emojis.
Right. And we talked about that actually. So emoji, the word comes from Japanese, and in Japanese, the plural is also emoji. But when words come into English, sometimes they take on English plurals. They change, so they sort of adapt to our language. And sometimes that happens, and sometimes it doesn't. And it has sort of partially happened with emoji. So some people will say emoji for plural, and some people will say emojis. And actually, Jane told me that both are considered fine right now.
As parents and students are kind of thinking about the back to school time, is there anything else we haven't talked about that you think is really important for them to keep in mind when it comes to grammar?
Well, I think the most important thing for kids going back to school and parents helping with their homework is to just know that it is so easy to look up everything these days. You know, if you're not sure how to spell something, all the dictionaries are online. If you have a grammar question, you know, you can search the Grammar Girl website, and I've covered, you know, 600 episodes. The answer is probably there. So, you know, just take that extra a minute to look. I know before I was Grammar Girl, I would write around. If I wasn't sure which word to use or how to spell it, I would just write a completely different sentence and avoid the problem. I would encourage people just to get in the habit of looking things up instead of trying to avoid the problem and write around it.
Final question. I have to say that it made me a little nervous emailing with you. I had to check all of my grammar and make sure that everything was good. Do you get that a lot? How do you handle it? And what do you say to other people about them correcting other people's grammar?
Right. Well, I never correct other people's grammar. I actually think it's rude unless you're a teacher or a parent or a spouse or something like that. I get that a lot from people who are writing to me. And the truth is, I read everything as fast as everybody else does. I skim my email, and often I'll get follow-up messages from people who will say, oh, I'm so embarrassed. I sent you an email and now I see the typo. And 99% of the time, I didn't even see it. So I wish people wouldn't feel so nervous about writing to me, but I understand why they do.
And you have such a great positive attitude about grammar and just wanting to help people. So thank you so much for sharing your expertise. I appreciate your time.
You're welcome. Thanks for giving me the opportunity.
And remember, you can read more about today's guest in today's show notes. That's also where you'll find links to all the news stories we talked about in this episode. From the homepage of thenewsworthy.com, click episodes in the upper right-hand corner and find today's date. Don't forget to share this episode with your friends if you got value out of it. And go ahead and leave a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to let others know they should definitely give it a try too. Thank you so much again for listening. The Newsworthy is ready for you by 4 in the morning every weekday. So I'll be back with more news tomorrow. Have a great day.